Bibles together with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Probably the most clear directive that we have in the Bible about faith promise. Or it's called in here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it's called grace giving. We'll have our reading. I invite you to stand up together with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. If that's what we all do, it won't be a problem giving money. Amen. Give of ourselves first. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. See, you can say, I love you, but you have to prove it, amen, by your giving. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Father in heaven, we pray now your blessing upon the hearing and reading of your word. Guide now our thoughts and our hearts. Lord, mold us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might abound in this grace of giving. Bless now this time, for we love you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I was reading in my devotions yesterday, Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render to God for all his benefits? And truly, we need to decide in our lifetime, what should we do with all the benefits that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ every day that we enjoy things? Amen. What should we render unto God for all these benefits? That's a question that David always asked himself. And he gave thanks to God seven times a day. Every day, that was his practice. Seven times a day, he would say thank you to God. For whatever reason, he would always say thank you. No wonder he was the man after God's own heart. Amen. And see, we see it here, this grace called giving. It says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia. We want you to know, is what he's saying in there. We do you to wit. We do you to know of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia. Of course, he's trying to brag on the church there at Philippi. He started the church there at Philippi, and so many other churches were started out of there. You had the church there at Lydia, in the riverbank there. And then another church was started with the household of that Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in there. And we see in there that they had bishops and deacons in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. But a notable take in there is Philippians chapter 4 in verse 14 through 17. It says, and there notwithstanding, you have well done in that you communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, you have a special account in glory every time you participate in starting churches. And that's been our goal there in the Philippines. God called me out of Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. I wanted to go to Russia at that time, so I fasted and prayed after two nights and three days. God finally opened to me the verses there in Titus. In Titus chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should strengthen the things which are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." That's been my cry for the Lord all these years. We haven't reached all the cities there in the Philippines yet. We haven't reached all the Asian countries as of yet. So I still have a big job to do as we go back. Amen. And you and I are given a task by God. This is His story anyway. It's not our story. It's history. Amen? In history in the making, God puts you and I into that big picture, in that fragment of time, just a small instant of time. All throughout the ages, God's lifetime is from eternity to eternity. We're just given a small segment of time. And the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away." We're just given a short amount of time in this life. But you and I are given a grand participation in the big picture of God's economy. Amen? We're given a grand picture in here. This is the participation in giving. This church here at Philippi was just a poor church. But they, in their poverty, it says it there in verse 2 and 3, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Sometimes it's good to be called a liberal in the area of giving. Amen. We can be conservative all we want to, but please don't be conservative in your giving. Be a liberal on the giving side. Amen. And you and I are granted that privilege to give to the Almighty God. Can you imagine that? You are given the privilege of giving for the work of the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is God's financial plan. This is God's financial structure. It says in there in verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty." They were begging the apostles to take the gift. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, the ministering to the saints." They have a special gift there for the starving people there in Jerusalem. You pick up that reading in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. People in Jerusalem started receiving persecution from the Roman authorities and from their fellow Jewish people, the people that did not want to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. They're persecuting all those that became Christian. All their lands were being sequestered. All their properties were being taken by the Sanhedrin. And then they were left to starve. You pick up the reading there in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 5, you have communal worship. You have Barnabas giving his parcel of land there in Acts chapter 4. Then Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Ghost and all that. That was communal worship at that time to help out in the efforts there feeding the starving people there in Jerusalem. The church there at Philippi were sending money. This was a poor church, but they were sending there to help out the people in Jerusalem. Let's pick up the reading here in verse 8. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." You and I, we need to prove the sincere love that we have for the rest of the world. We're approaching right now a very climactic threshold for our United States of America. This coming November 6th, hopefully we'll elect a new president. But brother and sister, it's not the president will bring us revival. No. It's God Almighty. Just as if we look back in Isaiah chapter 6 at verse 1, when in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, meaning to say he saw that God was sovereign, not the ruler Uzziah. Everybody was putting all their marbles in Uzziah's administration. Yes, for 52 years he ruled as a good king. Yes, he brought economic prosperity. Yes, he brought military strength. Yes, he put political strength in the picture there. But brother and sister, when Uzziah died, everything flattened out. Uzziah died, and Isaiah had to look up at the temple. You and I are at the threshold of begging God for mercy this coming November 6th. Who would have thought a Mormon will be running in behalf of the Republican Party than his running mate, the Catholic? Brother and sister, you and I need to pray for our rulers to get saved. Amen? That's what it says in there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Says that we should pray for kings and all those that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. The reason why we're not having a quiet and peaceable life, we haven't been praying for those who are in authority. We need to pray for them to get saved. But in the meanwhile, as we have a cataclysmic stage being set right now, a financial bubble is about to burst. You and I need to take hold on God's financial plan. Amen. It says right here in verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Imagine a holy God leaving the glories of heaven, coming down to be incarnated as man, as a poor man, being born in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. His parents, Joseph and Mary, couldn't even afford to have their own house. They had to stay in an inn, and that inn was overcrowded. They had to be put down in the barn. When Jesus Christ was born, he had swaddling clothes. When Jesus Christ was offered in baby dedication, amen, his parents dedicated themselves to raise up Jesus Christ for the glory of God. All they could afford was 2 turtle doves or 2 small pigeons. Jesus Christ left all the glories and luxuries of heaven to come down to be born as a human being, that we, through our poverty, might become rich. And yes, we have received elevation, we have received magnification. You and I are exalted in the stage set to be the bride of Jesus Christ, living in the glories of heaven forever and forever. But you and I are leaning on and banking on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The only reason why we're going to heaven is because God left the glories of heaven for you and I to get saved. We owe the rest of humanity that gift. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says it there in verse 14, "I am a debtor to Christ." Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says this, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Jesus Christ died for your sake. What should we do for the sake of Christ? Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Whatever we do, whatever we accomplish in this life, you and I need to strive for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let's look at here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. "Now I beseech you," this is the prayer request of the Apostle Paul, "now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." We need to pray for men of God. We need to pray for preachers, for missionaries, that they would strive to elevate and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no other foundation than that which is laid. That is Jesus Christ. We shouldn't lay our own dynasties. We shouldn't lay our own names. I have nothing. I'm just called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You and I, we're both nothing. You're nothing. I'm nothing. We're only one in Jesus Christ when He saved us. You and I are given a chance to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ for His sake. Yes, He granted us all the joys of heaven. He gave everything for our sakes. What should you do in payment back? Let's do everything for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the love of the Spirit. Second of all, let's look at Psalm 122 in verses 8 and 9. We should do things for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Psalm 122. Psalm 122 in verses 8 and 9. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because in the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Of course, it's applying for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. You and I need to pray for Jerusalem. It says it there in verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes. You and I need to pray for the people of Israel. I really believe it's coming to a close, that the fulfillment of Revelation will happen. But that tribulation period will happen first. Amen. I believe China, who's still a communist state, and they're still in alliance with Russia. I believe the statement there in Revelation chapter 16, where the kings of the east will cross the Euphrates River. They'll go down to meet there in the valley of Megiddo, there in the valley of Jezreel, and God will come down to save Israel. You and I will be in a better place if we side with Israel. Amen. I hope they break down the nukes there in Iran. Amen. I think they're just waiting for a good timing in there. I think they're waiting for the elections to get done. But brother and sister, we need to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to pray for our companions and our brethren's commitment for the Lord. We have brothers and sisters. I'm not just talking about people of Israel. Yes, we need to love Israel, but we need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who get wounded, who get offended, who get pushed down. We need to lift them up. Amen. We need to bear their burdens. Amen. We need to lift up the weak and heavy laden. But brother and sister, you and I are notorious for being Christians who hurt their own wounded and shoot their own wounded. That's sad. We look at brothers and sisters who are hurting, then we laugh at them to scorn. We gossip about them. We try to destroy them even more. We need to show love for them. For the sake of Christ. Amen. God so loved the world. He loves all of them. Even those who are backsliders. Even the prodigal son. Amen. God still loved the prodigal son. We need to love all for the sake of Christ. Thirdly, let's go down here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. We need to love sinners. Not only should we love the Savior, or we should love the saints, we should also love sinners. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 10. I don't hold on to the doctrines of hyper-Calvinism, and this is exactly the verse that I use against them. So if you have a problem with a hyper-Calvinist, bring this to thought in here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Bible says this, therefore I adjure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. God has stated it here. Everybody has to obtain salvation their own way. It has to be appropriated their own way. God knows who will be saved. God's omnipotence and God's omniscience, God knows the ending from the beginning. He knows who will get saved. He knows who will reject Him. But you and I are given the chance to show people how to get saved. And then it is their choice to appropriate that. It is their choice to obtain salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. We still have the commission of God, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12. Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. Jonah was about to be found out in here. And Jonah was worried for all those sailors that were riding the boat. The boat was headed out the other way. Instead of going to Nineveh, it was going to Tarshish, which is present-day Spain. And here in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12, here's Jonah standing before all these sailors. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. You and I are brought to the threshold to bring peace unto this earth. Thank God for those people invested in us. I got saved from a life of misery. Who would know where I would be right now had I not gotten saved? You know, when I was 11 years old, my mother went to a palm reader. Catholics play with palm reading too. Amen. Psychics and all. There's psychics there in the Philippines. My mom went to a palm reader. I was only 11 years old. My dad had passed when I was 9. My mom took me there with her. And the palm reader read my mom's palms. Immediately, the palm reader said, you have 3 kids. I was the middle in the family. I had an older brother and younger sister. The palm reader said, you have 3 kids. And that which is with you is your 2nd child. That was me. I was listening. Then she said, your heartache is your youngest child. My younger sister was the heartache. Then she proceeded to say that your middle child will become a priest. Then your middle child will die at the age of 30. I'm 46 right now, amen. And I didn't become a priest. But brother and sister, he was close. She was close. The devil can be close and yet so far, amen. The devil can be accurate to an extent, but it's not 100% accurate. Amen. Thank God that I got saved. Who would have known where would I be right now? I'd probably be dead right now if I didn't get saved. Where would you be right now? You'd probably be dead right now if you hadn't gotten saved. Jonah was telling the sailors, and he was trusting God, just throw me overboard. All this tempest is happening because of me. But for your sakes, throw me overboard. They threw Jonah overboard, and all the tempest disappeared, and then the whale shark was there. I believe it was both whale and fish, because Jonah says it's a fish. Jesus Christ says it's a whale in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. It has to be both. Amen. Because a whale shark has both spiracles and it has a blowhole. It has both. A whale shark is both whale and shark at the same time. Did you know that? And brother and sister, God never makes mistakes. He was thrown overboard for a reason, to show him the depths of hell. That whale went down to the bottom of the sea, and the billows were rolling in there for 3 days and 3 nights. He was there inside the whale's belly until the whale regurgitated and spat him out. Brother, all of that gastric juices, I could only imagine. Jonah was probably bald, hairless, white under acidic burning. He had to travel, I believe, at nighttime. He couldn't stand the heat because all of his melanin was gone. It had to be. Why would he hide under a gourd tree? He had no melanin, brother and sister. All the gastric juices burned him up. But God changed Jonah, amen, for the sake of the people in the boat. you and I need to look at the sake of sinners. People in hell there, like the rich ruler there, the rich man in the story of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 27 and 28, the rich man was telling Abraham, "Abraham, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brethren. I don't want them to come down here." I'm just paraphrasing. But brother and sister, people in hell are praying for us to go out and win people to Christ. Let's live for the sake of people who are lost. And lastly, let's go on down here. Let's live for our sons. Job chapter 19 and verse 17. Let's serve for the sake of the Savior, for the sake of the saints, for the sake of sinners, and lastly, for the sake of our sons. Job chapter 19 and verse 17. This is Job writing about his wretchedness. Even his wife told him, just curse God and die. He probably smelled like a dirty rat or a skunk. Amen. He had boils popping all over from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And it says right here in verse 19, "All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me." Verse 17, "My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body." You know, our country has been terribly wrong in putting the burden of debt on our children. You know, our country now has $16 trillion plus in debt. With 385 million people, it will take each one of us, 385 million people, each one of us will have to carry $53,000 debt to be paid for the balancing of the budget. That's unfair to our kids. What do they know about that debt? It's just ridiculous overspending by big government. Something has to be done for the sake of our sons. Amen. We have to pray for the sake of our sons. Pray for the good of this country. Pray for the gospel being sent out. This is still the greatest country on earth. We have embassies all over the Philippines. And the embassies that have more visa applications, by a long shot, is still the United States of America. They have long lines of people applying to get a visa here in the United States. But brother and sister, it's not the United States that will give us freedoms. It's God. People all over the world need to be emancipated from the clutches of sin. That can only be done by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, leaving the luxuries of heaven, all of His glories and all of His riches, that He might be poor, that you and I might be rich for your sakes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven,